2 Corinthians chapter 1. I have entitled this message, Why is a Believer Secure? Why is a believer secure? When God saves a sinner from his sins in this life, that individual does not stop being a sinner. Paul the Apostle, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said regarding himself, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. He did not say, I used to be the chief of sinners. Paul, the man that God's hand was on in such an unusual way, said regarding himself, I am, present tense, the chief of sinners. Paul would have looked at me, and he would have looked at you, and he would have said, I'm worse than you are. And he would have meant it. Look at Paul's testimony concerning himself in Romans chapter 7. Would you turn with me there? Paul says in verse 14 of Romans chapter 7, For we know that the law, God's Ten Commandments, all that God says, is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin, a slave to sin. And Paul's not talking about the way he used to be. He's talking about his present experience. Go on reading. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. Now, if then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good. Now then it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Do you know that? Now he goes on to say, For to will is present with me. I desire to be without sin. To will is present with me. I desire to do His will only. I would be perfectly conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. I would. To will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Notice he doesn't say, I mess up sometimes and I make mistakes and I'm not always perfect, but he says, I just flat out don't find it. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that which I would not, it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find in law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, I love his honesty here. I'm so thankful for this. Nobody else would talk this way. Not to somebody else they wouldn't. Nobody else would talk this way. I wouldn't, you wouldn't. But he does, and aren't you thankful for his honest testimony concerning what was really going on in his heart? Every believer knows exactly what he's saying. He said in verse 24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I serve myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Now because of their present sinfulness, a believer can fall, and a believer can fall grievously. David, the man after God's own heart, committed adultery, tried to cover it up. When that didn't work, he committed premeditated, cold-blooded murder. Somebody says, can a true believer do something like that? They shouldn't. But don't say, can they? You ought to know yourself enough to know that, yes, you could, apart from the grace of God. You could. A believer can make wretched decisions that ruin their lives. Look at Lot. He pitched his tent toward Sodom. He shouldn't have done that, but he did. And look where it got him. And we know Lot, according to the testimony of God the Holy Spirit, was a righteous man. Look at the way King Solomon died. If you read the history of King Solomon, he's the man who was the wisest man to ever live. And yet, I had someone call me just a couple of weeks ago trying to argue with me that he couldn't possibly be saved. If you read his death. And if you didn't understand the gospel, I can understand why you'd think that. I mean, he died worshiping, the scripture says, other gods. You know, I was thinking about this. You look in the accounts of the New Testament. Paul. Paul's my hero as far as men go. Paul the Apostle. But you know, in Acts chapter 21, he became so tired of the conflict that he took the vow of a Nazarite and was getting ready to offer up a blood sacrifice. That was part of the vow. This is after the Lord had been risen from the dead. He knew better than that. And he was going to do it. And the Lord had him arrested 7 days. When the 7 days was almost ended, when he would have offered up that blood sacrifice, the Lord had him arrested to prevent him from doing it. Aren't you thankful for the way the Lord restrains sin? What about Peter? In Galatians chapter 2, we read of him compromising the gospel. Being buckling in with fear from pressure from the Jewish believers coming down from Jerusalem. And he moved tables, and Paul publicly reprimanded him for compromising the gospel. Now, it's sad to say that there is nothing that an unbeliever will do that a believer cannot also do. Except this. The sin against the Holy Spirit. A believer, sad to say, can do anything that an unbeliever can do. And if you question this, I question whether you know yourself very well. Because if you knew yourself, you know that all the Lord's got to do is remove His hand from you. And there's nothing you won't stoop to. You believe that? It's so. Now, a believer, a blood-bought, spirit-born child of God, can get himself in an awful state. And the scriptures point this out. Experience points this out. But a believer is eternally secure. Christ said, I give unto my sheep eternal life. Not temporary life, but eternal life. And they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man can pluck them out of my Father's hands. Now that is a fact. Christ's sheep can never perish. Now, I realize that this truth has been abused. I realize that. You know, most Baptists are what you'd call... I, 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 I always make it my determination never to use the word Calvinism, but I've got to use it here. So forgive me. Most Baptists are what you'd call half-point Calvinists. Half-point Calvinists. They believe in once saved, always saved. Now, they don't believe in perseverance. They believe this corrupt view of once saved, always saved. They think if you make a decision, you'll never be lost. And therefore, they look to some kind of decision they made, and they look for assurance in that. And that's false. That's false. And I realize people will look at the eternal security of the believer and they'll think, well, that means I can live in a way that there's no consequences to it. Now, understand this. There is consequence to my sin and your sin in this life. Always. You know, when David committed that horrible sin, the Scripture says the thing David did displeased the Lord. And the sword never departed from his house after that. He pretty much, I mean, his life was pretty rough after that. Now, here's what's glorious about this. Now, his life was awful. All the trials that came into his life, they were terrible. But understand this. When David was committing that horrible sin, he was just as secure as he was when he was writing the Psalms. And when he was battling Goliath. Because his security was not in what he did. His security was in where he was in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is our security. So David was eternally secure. Now, why? Why is a believer eternally secure? I mean, you look at the mess that believers do get themselves in. We have so many examples in the Scripture. Look at the messes you've got yourself in. Look at the messes you've seen others get in. And you know that apart from the grace of God, you'd do worse. You can't look down your nose at them. Now, why is it when believers are so weak and so filled with sin, why is it that we can say a believer is eternally secure? Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, back to our text, Paul says in verse 20, "For all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him, amen, unto the glory of God by us." They're all certain, and they're all sure. Now, I've been talking about David. You remember David's last words. He said, "Though my house be not so with God, yet hath He made with me an everlasting covenant. Ordered in all things." And what? Sure. "And this is all my salvation." It's not 99% of it. It's all of it. "And it's all my desire, though He make it not to grow. All the promises of God in Him are yea and amen, sure and certain, not conditioned upon you doing something. They're all yea, and they're all amen." Now, salvation is in Christ. All the promises of God in Him. Salvation's in Christ. Now, what's that mean? Well, there's so many examples of it in the Scripture, but I think one of the most beautiful examples of salvation being in Christ is baptism. When I'm baptized, when someone's baptized and they confess Christ in believer's baptism, here's what they're saying. "Here is my hope. My hope is that when He lived, I lived because I was in Him." Remember there in Hebrews chapter 7 when it's talking about Levi paying tithes and Abraham before Levi was even born? It says when Abraham paid tithes, Levi paid those tithes. When Christ obeyed the law, I obeyed the law because I was in Him. Like a woman with a child in her belly. Where she goes, that child goes. When He kept the law, I kept the law. When he died, I died. When he was raised from the dead, I was raised from the dead because I was in him. What he did, I did. All of God's salvation is in, through, and by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you're in Christ, you're saved. You can't get any more saved than you are in the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 3, verse 5 says, He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. And that means right now, present tense, if I'm in Him, I have no sin. Now, you just said believers are still sinners. I know I said that. You can mess up your mind with it if you want, but still, in Him is no sin. Are you a sinner? Yeah. Do you have any sin? No. That's mysterious, isn't it? That's the gospel. How secure were you when you were in that ark? Remember that ark? Pitched within and without with pitch. There were 8 people in there. How secure were you when you were in that ark? You were 100% secure. What about the house with the blood over the door? I love to think about the Passover because there. You think if you would have been in one of those houses with the blood over the door, would you be in one of those people who didn't have any doubt that everything was going to be okay, or would you worry? Now, I know myself. I'd be one of the people who think, I'd be thinking about something that I did or something that I am, and I'd think, He may get me anyway. He may get me anyway. And I bet there were some people that were in those houses with the blood over the door, that there were people, other people thinking about them, and they were thinking, there ain't no way they're going to get through this. I mean, but all that being said, if you were in the house with the blood over the door, were you secure? Absolutely. And that one who doubted wasn't any less secure than the one who had strong faith. And that one who had strong faith, who had no doubts, wasn't any more secure than the one who had the weak faith. Why is that? Because God said, when I see the blood. That's the one thing He was looking for. He didn't say, when you see it. He said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. You think of the vine and the branch. The Lord said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Now you think about what's inside of the vine. Those fibers inside of the vine that go off into the branch, there's no connecting point, is there? The same fibers that are in the vine go in the branch. And there's no point where they, no beginning. Now, that's mysterious, but that's union with Christ. I've always been in Him. Now, we're in Him by this, but we're in Him consciously by faith. And here's what being in Him does. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You know, I read the same scriptures so often, and I wonder if anybody gets tired of them. They say, why don't you use some other scriptures? I don't. So I'm out to please myself right now, and I hope you're pleased too. But I never get tired of these. This is glorious. Look here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. But of Him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it's written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Now, you know how God sees me? So wise that he can have fellowship with me. Because Christ is my wisdom. He is my righteousness, so that God embraces me as righteous in my person because Jesus Christ is my righteousness. Jesus Christ is my holiness. He's my sanctification. Jesus Christ is my redemption or my full deliverance in Christ. I'm fit for fellowship with God. I'm fit to be in heaven right now. But what about that sin you was talking about?
It's been put away.
It's gone. In him is no sin. But what if a believer sins in a grievous way? It's sad when they do. And may God keep me from sin. John said, "These things write I unto you that you sin not." Oh, make it your goal and objective to never sin again. But what happens when a believer sins? They're still eternally secure. Great was the sin of David. We've already talked about that and what sorrow brought into his life. But he was secure because God made an everlasting covenant with him. You see, this covenant was made before David was ever born, before David had committed any sins. You know, I love that scripture. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. There's one wise old lady that said, "I'm so thankful," it says, "before he was ever born, because if he'd waited till I was born, he could have never loved me." I understand that. David's security was before he was ever born. Now go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. All the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now, he which establishes us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God. It is God that has established us and made us secure or confirmed us in Christ. God put us there. How? I don't know. I don't know how to answer that question. How do you get in Christ? God's got to put you there. I know that. The only way for me to be in Christ is if God places me in Christ. Of him are you in Christ Jesus. Now, I can't give any other. Well, give me some kind of formula how to get in Christ. I can't do that. We're totally dependent upon the sovereign will of God. And so we say, "Lord, put me in Christ." I say with Paul, "Oh, that I may win Christ and be found in him." That's my only aspiration. That's all I want. I don't want to be found any other way except in the Lord Jesus Christ. No other way. Now, the only way you can get in Christ is if God puts you in there. And the only thing to do is say, "Lord, may I be found in him." He which establishes us with you in Christ hath anointed us. That word "establish" is made secure. Made secure. Made stable. Now all of our stability is in Christ. Now don't you know you're not stable? Don't you know that about yourself? Don't you know that you're a powder keg? And our stability, our establishment is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now not only has he established us, look in verse 21, "Now he which makes us stable with you in Christ," and next he says, "and hath anointed us," is God. Not only has he established us in Christ, he has anointed us. Turn to 1 John chapter 2. Now this verse of Scripture is a favorite verse of Scripture that preachers like to use when someone leaves the church. And like if somebody here gets sore at me and leaves, I hope you don't. But it's happened. It's happened. And preachers like to use this: "They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they'd been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us." And they're doing it, using it, you know, to... But that being said, let's look at this verse of Scripture. "They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be manifest that they were not all of us, but you have an unction. An unction. That word is anointing. Now, this is true of every believer. You have an unction or an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Now, you're looking at somebody right now who knows all things. Now, that's an easy one to figure out. Is Christ all? If you believe on Christ, you know all things. You know all you need to know. You know all God requires. You have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. You understand. You understand. If God's taught you, you understand that the Lord Jesus Christ is all in salvation. You really believe that from the depths of your heart. You know all things. He says in verse 21, I've not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no liar is of the truth. Look in verse 26. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you, but the anointing which you've received of him abideth in you. And you need not that any man teach you. God's your teacher. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even it hath taught you, you shall abide in him. Now here's what happens when God anoints somebody. Here's what happens in our experience. My desire is that I might abide in the Lord Jesus Christ and not be found anywhere else. Now, if that's the desire of your heart, you've been anointed by God. You've been given this divine unction. That's his teaching. You simply want to be found in Christ. You don't want to be seen anywhere else. Now, that's the anointing or the unction that every believer has. Now, next in our text, turn back to 2 Corinthians 1. How is a believer secure? Well, here's how. All the promises of God in him are yea and amen. Now, he which establishes us with you and hath anointed us as God, verse 22, who hath also sealed us. Who has also sealed us. Now, seal is a sign of something being authentic, isn't it? For instance, that scripture in 2 Timothy 2:19, the foundation of the Lord standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. A seal is a mark of ownership. It's an emblem of destination and preservation. Have you ever canned? And when you can something, what happens when that can pops and seals? It's preserved. It's preserved, isn't it? Sealing is preserving. It's being preserved so you cannot fall away. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Now, understand this. If you could fall away, you would fall away. No question about that, is there? If you can, you will. But the fact of the matter is, a believer can't, because all the promises of God in him are yea and amen. Because he's been given the seal of the Spirit. Now look here in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12. That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, what's that mean? Well, think about this in verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Who was the first one to trust Christ? God the Father. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, notice Paul says, we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom that you also trusted after you heard the word of truth. He wasn't saying we were the first ones to trust and then you did later on. No. Abel trusted the Lord Jesus Christ 4,000 years before Paul did. God the Father was the first one to trust Christ. In what way? Well, I believe the most beautiful example of that is there in Genesis 43. Remember where Judah said he would be a surety for Benjamin? Now, if you go into the previous chapter, Reuben said he would be a surety for Benjamin. And Jacob knew him. He said, I will trust him with you. I will trust him with you. But when Jacob said, I'll be surety for him, I'll let everything be on me, Jacob entrusted Benjamin to the great surety, Judah. And God the Father entrusted the salvation of his people to the Lord Jesus Christ. He trusted Christ to save me. He looked 100% to Christ. And you know what? We do too, don't we? We do too. We look on. The Father looks only to Christ. All that God requires of me, He looks to His Son for. We look to Christ the same way the Father did. In whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth. Not error, but truth. The gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, or literally it can read, having believed, you were sealed. This is not something that took place after faith. It's something that took place with faith. Having believed, you were sealed. You were preserved. God the Holy Spirit entered your heart. And God the Holy Spirit is in you right now. The reason you believe is because of God the Spirit. That's the new man in you. And the reason you can't fall away is He can't fall away. He's got the Holy Spirit. You've been sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Now back to our text in 2 Corinthians 1. That's how a believer is eternally secure. And next it says in verse 22, He sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Now the earnest is the pledge. You've given earnest money before. It's the pledge. It's the down payment. Because I have the Holy Spirit, I cannot fall away. Now, I can grieve God the Holy Spirit. You can only grieve someone that loves you. And I can grieve Him by my conduct, by my sin, by my unbelief. The Scripture even says we can quench Him. We can quench His influences. And every one of us have done it. But you can't lose it. Isn't that wonderful? You can't lose Him. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Now, I see that this is the teaching of Scripture. How can I know if the Lord has done this great thing for me? I see that all the promises of God in Christ are yea and amen. I see that He sealed believers with the Holy Spirit. I see this is the teaching of the Scripture, but give me something where I can know that God the Holy Spirit has sealed me, has preserved me. That's what I want. I've got to have that. I've got to know. Is this just? I don't want this just to be academic and theory and teaching. I want to know the truth regarding myself. Well, let's go on reading. He says in verse 23, Moreover, I called God for a record upon my soul that to spare you, I came not as yet into Corinth. Not that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith you stand. Now, what is the evidence that I have the Holy Spirit? Do you believe the gospel? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is everything and makes you perfect before God and you need nothing else? Do you believe that He's all in salvation? Do you look to Him the way the Father did? The Father looked to Him completely for everything in salvation. Do you look to Him the way the Father did? You look to Him completely? If you do, you have the sealing and the earnest of God the Holy Spirit. I talked about believers sinning. Oh, for grace to conduct myself in my mind, in the way I treat you, in my life, in a way that will glorify and honor Him. I don't want to sin. But how thankful I am for the eternal security of every child of God. Let's close by looking at Romans 8. You know, when I was thinking about this, even preparing this passage of Scripture, and there's a lot of ways I could prove salvation by grace. I go to the Bible and show up. You know, I thought, to me at the time, this thought entered my mind. I'm proof that salvation is by grace. Because if it isn't all grace, it's over for me. I'm proof. Now look here in Romans 8, verse 28. Now here's the security of the believer. And we know. I love that language. You know, when he says we, he's speaking of all of God's elect. They may not, but we do. We do. We know. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow. Remember this about foreknowledge. It's not what He foreknew. It's whom He foreknew. Whom He did foreknow, them also did He predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. Whom He called, them He also justified. Whom He justified, them He also glorified. Now how secure is that? I'm already glorified. In the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm already in heaven. Glorified in Him. Well, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died, yea, rather that's risen again, who's even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Can He stop loving us? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it's written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. We're as counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded. I'm convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height nor depth, and just in case I've left out anything, nor any other creature, including me, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. That is how a believer is secure. Let's pray.